when the red lights go on, we're live and not danger.
Oh.
Okay, so...
I thought that's why you had red headphones as well, because you're dangerous.
Not at all. The red lights are on, so we're now live. And the reason why we said that is because we've just been joined. Rosemary and myself have been joined by Mark, who, I didn't really know what he did. I just thought he beat people up for a living like he used to years ago.
But
now he's into the old safety, the safety business, white safety. Mark, morning. Good to see you.
Good morning, Ian. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
You've had us in stitches, but we can't tell or say anything that we've just been talking about. But
no.
you did make us laugh then just now. Maybe it will come out at some point. So anyway, Mark, what is White Safety?
White Safety is a health and safety consultancy, providing health and safety advice to local companies on the island, local businesses, schools. Anybody that needs some health and safety advice, we're there to help. Health and safety training we can provide. And really, making sure that people are compliant with the law. And I always say to people, when the people ask me to come in and give a bit of advice, that one of my main jobs is to keep people out of prison. Because I worked in the prison, as you know, Ian, a long time ago. And if I end up in prison for a breach of health and safety following advice that I've given, then it's likely that I might end up alongside them, and people in prison prisoners don't like ex-prison staff. So it's in my interest
to make sure
that they're safe and don't go into prison.
Well, that's fair enough. That's good advice. So how many people have you advised over the years? Hundreds?
Oh yeah, over the years, many. I mean, I would. The first company I ever sort of consulted with, that was back in 2001. I mean, basically, Ian, I worked at the prison service. I run all the industries in the prison. I started off my working life at Maury's on the island as a wood machinist. And I went to the prison in 1989 as a wood machinist instructor teaching prisoners. And then through being in the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time, I ended up managing all the businesses, all the industries on the island prison, and then when it became HM Prison Isle of Wight, all of those. But in 2001, I took some health and safety qualifications, and I thought, well, is there any work outside with the skills that I've now got useful on the outside? And I contact or put advert in the local Yellow Pages, and I picked up a client in 2001, a company down at Ryde that make very high quality joinery. Can I mention a company's name?
Yeah, of course you can.
Corporate Furniture and Interiors Limited. I started working for those.
I've got them testimonial here on your website.
Have you?
Yes.
And they're still a client of mine today. I just, as I say, make sure that they're safe. They're a company employing about 15 people. And I look after all their compliance from there. But going back to your original question, how many? I would hate to think how many. Some companies will need to use me once or twice just to get them out of a predicament. Other people will have a long-term relationship with me.
I love the fact that you've got the White Fire company.
We do a lot of work with White Fire. I look after their health and safety, and we have a good relationship there as well.
You're all working together on that.
We all work together. In the end of the day, the Isle of Wight especially, it's all got to be down about partnerships and good working relationships with people.
Now, you mentioned your experience of working at Maury's and so on. So are we working with those kind of companies? Or you came into Vectis Radio and you've already given us some advice on what we should do. So is it just, it's not just companies that have machines and stuff like that, it's all sorts?
No, well, the best bit of advice that I was ever given from one of the lecturers that I did my health and safety training, when I sort of sought some advice on going out and working as a consultant, was only focus on what just stick to what you know. And I look at sort of low risk environments. I've got an engineering or woodworking background, so that, but I look after construction, very much into health and safety for care homes are a good one on the island, and local care homes, because they deal with vulnerable people. I have schools that I look after, so it's a whole range of areas that I feel comfortable in. I don't want to work in an area that I'm not very comfortable.
And obviously you keep updated, because you say the schools, I mean the schools and care homes must be an ongoing thing with rules and things changing.
Yeah, I mean part of my role is on what they call a chartered health and safety practitioner, so I have to maintain my continuous professional development, so it's an obligation to keep that membership going that I maintain my standards.
And why did they ban Conkers?
They didn't.
I thought they weren't allowed to play Conkers.
No, that was all a fallacy. That was people just taking the law under their own hands and just looking at that. And my organisation, the Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, actually, when that came out, that they actually held a Conker competition.
Oh, that's all right, then, Ian, we can go and play Conkers.
That's all right, is it? Kiss Chase as well.
I don't think that's come under Safe and Health.
Communicable diseases, that comes under.
The other thing, obviously, I've got my book here, my laptop here, is telling me, not laptop, what's this called, a pad? And you were saying about other places, the Royal Yacht Squadron.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, that's probably one of the most prestigious companies, obviously, that I work for on the island. We've had a good relationship there. They called me in for some health and safety advice, and they're an annual customer of mine, or annual client of mine. And it's quite funny, really, because it's the only place I go that I get given coffee with in nice china cups, and sugar with nice little silver prongs and that.
Did you get a biscuit?
I actually had a little Plowman's last time, and I took a photograph of the actual meal and then sent it to the wife and said, look where I am, look at my lunch.
I think I'll have to go there and try and do something for them then.
But no, that's very prestigious, but I've not met like the patron there, Miss Herb. Prince Philip or anyone like that. So I'm there when it's sort of out of action.
Who needs advice then? Who should come and see you? Who should check out your website?
Who should check out my website? Anybody that really that's looking for advice, just there, you know. And I think living on the island and working on the island, we got a flexible approach. And if somebody wants to just sort of chat over the phone, I'm happy to do that as well. And just give some basic advice, and if they need anything, I'll come out and speak to people and make sure that they're on the right side. You know, everybody now in today's working day deserves to leave home safely and leave home, go to work and come home safely, all in the same bits with all the bits in place.
Mark, what about events and festivals, well, the small festivals, are you there to help them from the
because
obviously there's a lot on the island, and I think it scares some events that all the rules and regs and puts some of them off, which I don't think they should, because the island needs them. So you're there to help them?
The object is that we make it as safe as we possibly can. You know, you never, you know, unless we wrap everybody up in a cotton wool and keep them at home every day, you'll never have 100% safety there. But it's just keeping things safe and having a real common sense approach. And really, when you go into something like that, you know, just try and identify. One of the skills I think is identify where things could go wrong that we haven't sort of foreseen.
When you talk about home, I know it's not, you know, part of your thing, but just a little bit of advice, what should we have at home?
Well, I think the biggest thing at home is about fire safety, making sure that you've got ample fire detection, heat detection, so you've got an early warning. I go to places that haven't had that, I'll go and do training. When I do the training at the care homes, I always sort of say, look, this training would apply for home. And it's quite amazing, and even in this day and age, the amount of people, especially with young children, that might not have suitable fire detectors. I went to a place the other day it was a serious fire that actually gutted the whole premises. I'm working with the renovator who's working for the local insurance company, or working for the insurance company, and it was a fault in the intake coming into the supply, and the chap was apparently, I've not spoken to him, but the chap said, I saw flames coming up through the floor. Well, in about 2 or 3 hours or a little bit later, he was stood outside his house in boxer shorts watching it burn.
It doesn't take long at all, does it?
And if he'd had perhaps had a fire extinguisher there, he might have been able to do it. Thankfully, him and the family got out, but I don't. I think his only belongings is what he stood up in. Everything else was destroyed in the fire.
Wow. Now, you mentioned, you brought up about conkers and stuff, and I thought, you know, okay, so it's a funny one. How do you manage to stay on top with the things that are changing on a, you know, on a regular basis? Do you have to like retrain? Are you made aware of the changes?
I register with lots of different areas, but mainly with the HSE, that we find out what current legislation's coming in, what changes are made, and that. But things like conkers, it's just things like bonkers, you know.
Bonkers, bonkers, bonkers. So what are you working on at the moment then? There must be things can you talk about that or not?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm focusing on now is very much proactive health and safety as opposed to reactive. You know, we want to be in there before something happens, sure, and identify when it happens. There's a new change that happened in February this year, that they've changed what they call the sentencing guidelines for health and safety offences, whereas before there was caps on the amount of fines. Well, now the amount of fines are virtually unlimited for health and safety breaches if necessary, and it's worked on the capacity of the company. So if the company turns over X amount, then the fines are according to that. And okay, I think that the government and the, you know, they're now looking at, well, how can, let's just say for example, how can a massive organisation, we perhaps would only have a couple on the Isle of Wight, how can they be fined the same as what a micro organisation can be fined? So they sort of set it up, but now that the sentencing guidelines are quite wide, whereas before it was a limited amount, whereas now it's going to be down to the company.
Are you part of a group of people that has a say in what goes on, or is it there's a body of people that tell you this is what you need to do now?
No, I don't. As I say, I'm involved with the Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, and we will have an opportunity to make any comments on changes to legislation, to what they call white papers, and we'll have a chance to make a comment and put our 5 pence worth in.
Okay. Look, we're running out of time.
If
there's you know, people out there that want to know more about what you do, and hey, look, we just want you to come over and run your eyes over our business, making sure that we're safe. How do we get in touch?
It's just easy, isn't it? Nowadays, it's Google, isn't it? Google either Mark Elliott or Google White Safety Consultancy, and it'll come up. Or my email address there is mark@whitesafety.co.uk. And if anybody wants a 20-minute chat, just over the phone, you know, no obligation, I'm quite happy to do that, as long as they email me and we make an arrangement that way.
And you do travel to the mainland as well?
Yeah, I work at mainland. Last week I was at Leighton Buzzard, and then I was at Welwyn Garden City, so I work across.
You're a travelled man,
the,
you are.
I can be.
and is it true that you look after, you know, old people's homes because maybe you're going to end up in one in a few years' time?
Honestly.
It's,
he was just saying how tough you were earlier.
It's,
and that's why you've made me sit next to you and him.
It's a bit of an eye-opener that this is what's likely, or this is what could happen, and that. So live for the day and live safely for the day, for definite.
Absolutely.
That's a good proverb for the day.
We come back, because I reckon we've only just, you know, touched the tip of the iceberg, haven't we?
Well, I wrote a whole load of notes here that I haven't even touched on, because I didn't know what this was going to be.
It can be
about
here for the next 6 weeks, I think.
So, yeah, if you want me to come back, I've quite enjoyed it.
Because there's fascinating things I want to ask you. I mean, this might not be, you know, directly in your domain, but somebody said to me the other week that if you've got yourself one of those watches that can answer the telephone, you're not allowed to answer it whilst driving.
No, you can't. No.
And is that in your domain? Is that your?
Yeah, well, it's all about safety, and if especially if some, I mean, common sense would say that you don't answer phones and that for obvious reasons.
There was something on the lovely internet about someone answering a phone while at a petrol station. Big, just blew up.
Yeah.
So.
But you said it being around your wrist, it's not going to be too much of a problem.
No, but it's distraction. I saw something on the Facebook the other day of a bus driver. It was a CCTV camera on a bus driver, and he literally was like, he looked at his phone. He looked at his phone, looked at the road, looked at his phone. Then he took his eyes off and he looked at the phone for about 4 or 5 seconds and that, and he drove straight in the back of a wagon that was in front
of
him.
So just a blink, really.
But yeah. What's the difference, Mark, then, when you got one of those little pads that tells you where to drive? I haven't got one myself, but what are they called?
Sat-nav.
Sat-nav. I mean,
lesson. Bring them back in the 21st century.
Yeah, well, I don't want one of those, but I mean, you've got like a little mini television there in front of you. What's the difference?
Well, the sat nav is one thing because it gives you a bit of a communication, but it's when you've got, you know, you see these cars with televisions and stuff like that, you can't have a television on and that's going to distract you in the car.
But it doesn't.
And what I will say now as well, while we're talking about that it's a good idea, and yeah, I haven't got one yet. I'm waiting for some people to pay me an invoice, I think, but get these car cam things.
That could be a different subject altogether, because I've read about car cams and them not being able to be used in court cases, but that's a different thing altogether.
Yeah, well, maybe not so much in court case, but it's good for the insurance and you see, hopefully we don't have it too much on the Isle of Wight. I was reading something the other day that, you know, the way that people are falsifying insurance claims, that they're now flashing their lights to sort of let you out of a junction, you come out and then they drive straight into you and say that, you know, and the highway code says that a flashing light is to warn you there and not to sort of
let people
out.
Absolutely. That's an interesting one. So will you come back and we'll chat about these things?
If the fee's right, Ian, I'll come back and talk to you.
Glass of water.
Yeah.
No, it's been a good pleasure, and you know, from a bit of nervous excitement, you know, I've enjoyed the chat.
I can tell. Thanks for coming in, Mark.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you soon.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Rosemary.